Fingers crossed. Did you do it?
Can you hear us? And we cannot hear you. Okay.
I'm totally kidding. She's doing a bit.
Oh, I'm doing a bit.
You are so good.
There's no way you nailed it on time one. I don't believe it.
And she recorded.
Oh my God. You guys, she made it. She figured it out. It took 4 seasons, but she figured it out.
I'm recording.
You are incredible.
I pre-connected the earbuds, yes. The buds,
and
connected them to the Bluetooth.
Wow.
Got the link open.
I'm so proud
I've
of
got
you.
My
Donald's
tea.
Donald's going to have a tear in his eye.
Donald.
Yo, yeah. Donald. What up, Sarah yo? Figured out her audio without any help.
Bullshit.
No, she
not
did.
Just my audio. I figured out my video. I figured out my lunch. I figured
nice.
Out all of the things.
You look great.
You look great. You've been posting some thirsty pictures on Instagram, and I've been hearting them big.
Thirsty? What does
I've
mean?
Been she posting.
Thirsty's when you like you know you look fine and you like.
Oh,
put
I
it
thought
out
she was
there.
Like she was posting shit like the Bugs Bunny challenge.
No, you put out all these thirsty pics, Donald. But Sarah occasionally drops one. I'm like, okay, Sarah.
Okay, I did not know that's what I was doing, but I will try to continue to do.
No,
that.
Please do because your fans, I'm sure, love it, and I appreciate it as your fake former lover.
Well, I feel like I kind of like try really like I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna put something on it, and then I forget, and then a month goes by, and then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do it. But mostly I'm just so proud in this moment because I feel like Zach texted me earlier and he's like, practice getting online. Three words. He texted me three words. Practice getting online. And I was like, I've charged the earbuds. I've charged
the
computer.
I don't know another grown adult that I would text practice getting online to.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a mystery. But I do feel like there's something that happens when you kind of, you know, you go back to that, you revert to that dynamic. Cause like I was just pouring water and I feel like I've learned where my arms are in space. Anyways, the water dumped obviously all over. And I was like, it's because I'm about to get on the podcast.
You spilled water?
You spilled water? Did you spill it all over your recording device?
The recording devices were all fine. Just my pants and my socks. So I'm not in socks anymore. Socks had to go.
Wow. Sarah, you wow. are the clumsiest person
you,
I've ever
you
met.
You cannot
in my life.
Write this stuff.
No.
You cannot write this stuff.
There's never been a day since I've known her, and I've known her for 20 years, where it's like, what's up? Nothing happened. No, I woke up and I have no stories for today. Nothing
I'm
happened.
Waiting.
Sarah would come back from freaking break with adventures like a car almost ran my whole family over.
Yeah.
Luckily
dogs
for
almost,
me.
Yeah. My dogs almost ate my dad. We were in a tent. The tent was surrounded. Sarah, I want to tell you something. We did a big interview for the Washington Post, and they didn't put in my favorite part where she asked us a very good question. She said to Donald and I, what is one thing you really see now from watching the show back that you didn't fully appreciate back in the day?
Right away, both of our answers at the same time.
Same
the
answer.
Brilliance
without,
of Sarah Chalk.
What? Shut the fuck up.
Without hesitation, we both said how fucking genius Sarah Chalk is.
I mean, people on the listening are not going to know that I'm blushing.
You're blushing?
They're not going to be able to see me blushing right
tell.
Now because it's audio.
No, but
well,
we meant it, Sarah. I really mean that. I know Donald does too. You know, when we're doing the show, we're so caught up in our own trying to be funny. I obviously knew you were funny. We spent so much time together. But there's things that I really noticed in hindsight. One, that we always teased Rob, but even though Rob had one line, every time he says it, it's funny. And the other is you. You're such a gifted actress and comedian.
That is really nice. And thank you. And I feel like everything I learned on this show. So that's the truth.
Congratulations on season 2 of Firefly Lane also.
That's your second standing O in 30 seconds, Sarah.
There are a lot of people out there, my wife included.
I've never gotten one on this show before.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. My wife included with, I guess, millions of people out there are so excited for season 2.
Yep.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I love doing it. I'm so happy we get to do it again.
Michael Spiller, who was one of our favorite directors on this show. You know, we talked about him several times. He was one of the best directors we had. I heard a rumor that he's going to be one of your main directors on the show this year.
I'm so pumped. I mean, when I I heard that. Obviously, there was like our core group on Scrubs, and Spiller was one of them. And he's such a good director. He's also just so chill. Like, he just sets that tone on set of like, it's all going to work out.
Yeah.
And he also has obviously such a knack for comedy.
I have one question for you. What? Are you doing the new Psyched movie?
I'm not. I'm like so happy they're doing another one.
I don't like working with them. I have problems with them.
Would you be trading on that? You a trader kind of sometimes.
I think it's a betrayal, Donald, don't you?
So I do agree that it's a betrayal.
It's a bit of a betrayal. Yeah.
No, I feel it in my heart place.
Right in your heart place? I feel like yeah, that's why I couldn't do another one.
Maybe
right?
We should get another famous blonde comedian to do our movie.
Don't
Donald.
You even think about it.
Kaylee Cuoco.
I hear she's
Don't
doing
you
a lot
even
right now.
Think yeah. about it.
She think is. About it.
She, okay, it'll be fine. Okay, bring on, you can have, just bring Becky one, and then I'll feel like there's some.
No, we don't want Becky
no,
one.
No.
Some, you know, some continuity.
We don't want anyone but you, sir. We love you. We think you're so talented.
Did I ever tell you when I first met Becky One how she approached me?
How did she say?
She was like, do you know who I am? And I was like, yeah, I know who you are. Calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to start.
She's like, that's right. Number one, motherfucker. Number one. Yeah. Number one. Gosh. Okay,
we never had her on Scrubs. We should have had her do a funny cameo.
I know. I feel like we talked about it at some point. Becky 1/3 and I was 2/4.
There would have been a really funny fantasy in there.
Right? I mean, yeah, instead you guys just call me Second Becky for 8 years.
How's it going up there in Canada? I know you like to be up there and it's a beautiful time of year, right? What's happening up there? Are you in Vancouver?
Oh, yeah, it's pouring rain. Just a downpour today. Just a downpour.
Really?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, June is kind of like that sometimes. I'm it's going great. I mean, we're doing good up here. We're a little behind the States in terms of the rollout of the vaccines, but I just got my appointment for my second dose and I can't wait. I'm like the one who calls every day. Is it time? Is it my turn? Can I have a turn yet? Is it my turn?
I was about to say, when are you guys going to open back up?
Yeah. When can you open those borders so we can come visit you without a 2-week quarantine?
I got offered a role and they were like, listen, it's one day of work, but we need you to 2 weeks.
By the way, and it's a no fucking joke, 2 weeks. Do you know what it is? They put you in a hotel and they watch you and you're not allowed to leave the hotel room.
Yeah.
So now is that just for the first...
My friend just did it. She like had a balcony she was allowed to sit on. But other than that, no outside.
One line. It was like one scene, 14 days quarantine.
Fuck that.
I was like, no, I'm going to pass on this.
We talked about
I was totally Randy Jackson. That's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah. We were talking about bringing my movie up there, and it was a big no for me when I heard about the for real 2 weeks in a room by myself. No thanks.
Wait, which one? Your Cheap Red the Desert or the one you're directing in?
No, my new film I'm directing, I'm trying to make it in Jersey. I want to make it in Jersey where it takes place. But, you know, when you're budgeting a movie, you can't help every producer's first line is, well, let's explore Canada.
Canada.
And I mean, that's like the first thing any producer's going to say. Well, we should look at Canada. And then I said, well, I looked at the 2 weeks by myself in an apartment and I decided we're not looking at Canada anymore.
That's how I've gotten every job my entire life. We should look at Canada.
It's the only way. So I don't know. Sarah, since you're the film expert.
Your dreams come true.
Sarah, yeah, your dreams come true. Now, American actors don't want to go there, so you have all the roles for yourself. But you're on a show. You can't take any more roles. You've already got one.
But do your movie in Canada. I feel like the quarantine's going to be – you can cut all this out of the podcast.
Do you have any insider information for when the quarantine and for Canada is going away, Sarah?
Oh, let's not – I mean, you know I make all the decisions.
I just feel like if you made the right calls, you might be able to find out.
Yeah. I could probably, you know, pull some strings as well. When do you need it done by? I got it.
Well, if you could do it by the 15th, like the rest
of
America is
going
to do, then I could probably take that rest. Yeah. You motherfucker.
Wait, the 15th of June?
Yeah, man, we're about to open up. America's about to open up the 15th of June.
Is it all America or California? I know California is fully open on the 15th.
It's America.
Oh, okay. Wow. Don't yell at me.
So I feel like, wait, ZB, aren't you directing your movie in September?
We are scheduled to start principal photography mid-October.
Oh, you're going to be fine. I read that they're going to potentially have, like, lift the quarantine for travelers who are double vaxxed in July.
Okay, well, I can't really depend on Sarah Chalk Herd.
I mean, it's pretty reliable.
Can you imagine? Jeez. I say to Morgan Freeman, now listen, Morgan, I'm so happy you're doing the movie. I'm going to need you to sit alone in a room for 2 weeks.
Because Zachary, Sarah was not correct.
Goddamn mind. That's what he'd say to you.
Zach, this is Morgan.
True. Okay, so Jersey instead?
Mind. Does he say, this is Morgan? When he says, this is Morgan, does he go, this is Morgan Freeman?
This is Morgan Freeman. You know, my outgoing message. Did I tell you guys that story about how he was my outgoing message?
Yeah, man. It broke my heart.
Did I tell it on the podcast?
No, you didn't, but you could tell it.
I had it. Well, I was directing him in Going in Style, and I knew he was wrapped because I'm the director. I know when someone's last shot it is, but it was early for him. He was surprised. And I go, this is your last shot. And he goes, I don't believe you. And I go, I'm the director. I know when someone's last shot is. I'm the one who comes up with the shots, and you're not in any of the other ones. You're done. And he goes, I don't believe you. I go, make me a bet. So we bet him. And if I won, he had to record an outgoing voicemail message on my phone, which I, of course, won because I know what I'm doing. And so for the longest time, I had, hello, this is Morgan Freeman. Zach can't come to the phone right now. Please leave a message.
If I could have anybody do that for me, it would be Tracy Morgan as Brian Fellows.
Hi, I'm Brian Fellows. Donald Faison can't come to the phone right now. That would be amazing. Speaking of, Zach got bit by a Rottweiler.
I did get bit by a Rottweiler, but you clearly don't listen to the show. So how did you hear that?
I was listening to the show.
I don't believe you.
And then I know that you showed you had to apologize to Joelle because she was going to have to see your boxers.
Oh, you do listen to the show. I thought you didn't listen.
Wow.
I can't believe that happened.
I feel like one of Sarah's relatives told her. Right. Did you hear? And he had to ask Joelle permission to reveal his boxers. Sarah, I felt like you.
Things that were discussed on the podcast.
Sarah, I feel like you. I was like, you're not going to believe what happened. Okay, I'm on set, right? And the Rottweiler is perfectly fine. All of a sudden, it latches onto my leg.
But it was a stunt gone awry, and I didn't want the children to worry, so I had to wait. I just had to wait. So
oh, my God.
And I was bawling and sobbing, and I had to call Anne because she would know what to do. Not only did she comfort me in a hard, difficult time, but she also knew the medical answer of all the things to put in the wound.
Wow, that was Sarah Chalk doing me doing Sarah Chalk. All right, listen, before we count in, I want to tell everyone that our guest today is our friend, Amanda Klutz, who we all know and love. And she has written a book about Nick and losing Nick called Live Your Life that is just extraordinary. I am not just saying this because she's our friend. I even said this to her face. I said, I was expecting it to be interesting to me because I know the story and I love you, but I could not put this book down. It is so well done. She wrote it with her sister, who's a professional writer, so I'm sure that she helped her. But it's extraordinary, so we're going to talk about all that.
That's after we co-host with Sarah, though, right?
Can't wait to read Amanda's book. I pre-ordered it the day it was available for pre-order. I just got my email of when it's coming. And
look, I'm like a real interviewer, guys. I'm like Jimmy Fallon. I'm holding up the book to the camera.
The book.
But I will talk all about that later. The other thing I want to tell you is this is the season 4 finale, Sarah. That's why we wanted to have you on, because you're so hilarious. And also, we're booking through this thing, guys. Season 4, bam, done.
I mean, this is like halfway through the show.
I know. We're trying to stall now, Sarah, because we don't want it to be over.
Right? I mean, should you start great
ideas.
In?
I got great ideas on how we can stall, guys.
Stall. Great how ideas. Do you do? What are your thoughts?
He wants to watch a different world.
Dude, I think that would be a great, we just do like an intermission and do.
We can do the pilot.
Just the pilot?
I don't want to upset you, so just calm down before you.
Hold on 1 second, motherfucker. Don't get me mad right now, goddammit.
I know. I need you to calm down. By the way, why is your kid pissing in front of my house? Okay. I get this picture. I don't know if it was from the security camera or what.
No,
but Donald guarding like a bouncer, his son pissing on the front of my house. I'm like, bro.
It's a pandemic,
so
Zach.
How many
bouncers
do I have?
Here's what happened. So speaking of Zach's mom, we were at Zach's house yesterday with his family. His niece just graduated from high school. It was a wonderful affair.
Congratulations.
I got super drunk, which I don't do anymore. And I
didn't know you got super drunk. You seem to hold it together.
And I had a few edibles.
Oh, it was the edibles, yeah.
And I don't do that anymore either, usually. And I was...
Is this all going to add up to your son peeing in my house?
Yes, this is the story. I was plastered. We leave, right? And we get outside, and Rocco goes, I got to pee, Dad.
Why didn't you ring the doorbell?
Because you guys were all downstairs. And Casey says to me, they have to come all the way back up here. Rocco, just pee in the bush. And I was like, no, dude, don't pee in the bush. Right? And she's like, no, just let him pee in the bush. It'll be all right. She's like, how do you think he goes to the bathroom when he's at basketball camp? He pees in the bush. And I was like, oh, my God, he's peeing in the bush at basketball camp? And he was like, yeah, Dad, I pee in a bush at basketball camp. And I was like, all right, this is what you do. Go pee in the bush. And so he goes to pee, and I'm guarding him. And his mother decides to take a picture and send it to you, just so you know that we.
I might have to post that picture. Can you ask Casey if I'm allowed to post it?
You are totally allowed to post that.
It's pretty funny. Donald looks like he's like, it looks like it's some famous like musician, and Donald looks like the bodyguard who's protecting the star peeing in the bushes.
You know what it looks like? It looks like Baby. What's the one? The Adam Sandler movie where the kid's pissing on the door?
Big Daddy.
Big yeah. Daddy. That's what it reminded me.
You can't. You know, it's an important life skill. You cannot get too precious about that kind of stuff.
Do you think your kids pee in my pool, though?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes or no? Yeah.
I think they peed in the hot tub, too.
Oh, no. Really? We were all in the hot tub. How do you
and
know?
And we were all, everybody was splashing their face with water and everything.
You know, my assistant, Mark, had his two kids, adorable kids, over swimming in the pool. And Josh Radin comes over. And the kids are like, Mr. Josh, come swimming. And he goes, I'm not coming in that pool. You guys peed in there. And they go, not in the hot tub. meaning like in the real pool, yeah. They drenched it.
Totally.
I am almost positive my kids peed in
really?
Your pool.
It's a saltwater pool. I don't know if that cleans urine. Joelle, can you Google that? Chlorine.
The ocean does.
Chlorine, I can picture attacking the urine. I don't know if you have a saltwater pool, if it kills child urine, Joelle.
Well, it's all salty. How about that?
All right. Oh, my God.
I feel like when we were kids, they would have those things in the pool, like the chemicals in the pool that would like light up when someone
peed. That's bullshit. No one really had that. Yeah. Everyone just threatened to have that.
It didn't happen to anybody?
I don't think that's a real thing. That was a threat, so we wouldn't do it. All right, should we get into the show? Wait, hold on. Joelle has the answer.
Salt water may kill some,
but does not kill all. Mouth and... That doesn't answer the question.
Anyway, how about this, y'all? 5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories. Natural should know.
I got in before the countdown.
Yeah, you're special. Dear diary. You know what it is? We missed you. We missed you, and we decided to let you in early.
No, I haven't gotten to countdown yet. That's next. Okay. I've got something to look forward to.
You can count us out.
You can. You know what? You can count us in. You can count us out. Yes. Okay. We also have a new song for when we have a guest, and I've written a new song that Donald won't lay down for.
No,
Casey's
dude,
entrances.
I will lay it down. I just need you to freaking. You got to get somebody dope to lay the track so I can sing.
Okay, here you
it.
Go. Salt is not a disinfectant or sanitizer. Salt does not kill bacteria, inactivate viruses, or break down undesirable organic material in the pool water. Well, your kids put some fucking undesirable organic material in my pool water.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? My daughter threw up in the pool.
She did? Oh.
Yeah.
What? Oh,
did
no.
They poo?
No, there was no poo.
Who was the one that...
Look, dude.
Remember that in Caddyshack? Dude!
Yeah. But it's really a candy bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he eats it.
Yeah.
He does.
And everybody cringes.
All right, let's talk about the show Scrubs, guys. We open with JD alone in an empty apartment with a
Was
single
that
tear.
A real tear? And then the end of the
First
show
of all,
answered the question.
I am no Denzel Washington. I cannot squeeze out a beautiful, slow tear going down my cheek.
Not that thick.
Cheek. You just put a little Josh Radin on your iPod.
No, when it's
remember
like
you guys
that,
used to make
I,
so
I'm
much
sure
fun of me
was,
in my playlist?
I'm sure, yeah. I know. That's what Sarah used to listen to, Josh Radin to cry. I'm sure that was a strategically placed tier.
I thought it was Sarah McLachlan. I will
remember you. Oh, she was definitely peppered in there. Definitely.
Will you remember me?
Don't live your life.
I felt bad for JD. He's so lonesome. He's got no Elliot in his life. He's got Turk leaving them for Judy and making babies. And, you know, he's sitting there alone on his boxes with a dead dog and a tear on his face.
But he could have let Turk in with a giant pizza.
No, but he did not. Turk hurt his feelings.
Well, you know, I will say this. When this episode started off, all I could think about was, holy cow, one, this is the season finale. And then two, so many cool things happen in the next season. You know what I mean?
Season five is a good one.
So many cool things happen in the next season. And season four was a really good season as well.
Yep.
I wasn't very nostalgic about it, but I was like, I wonder what this episode, as soon as it started, I was like, I wonder what this episode has in store. Because as you know, I don't remember any of this. Yeah. So I'm like, how do we close this season out? And there are some iconic moments in this episode.
Yep.
One, you and I lying down on the basketball court together.
With a hug t-shirt.
That's a meme that's everywhere.
Yeah. I see that meme a lot, yeah.
Everywhere.
You're such a good friend that you lie down next to me so people just think we're chilling.
Yeah.
Even though I've knocked myself out trying to do a hook shot.
Dude, your elaborate plan
to make sure
that the last five people in the hospital think you're a good basketball, whatever it is, think you're a good basketball player, goes awry, and you get knocked out from this hook shot of yours.
That was funny, though. That basketball to the head was funny.
Oh, it was funny. And when you're like, damn, we just lost the best player out here. And then we're in the spread. And then Donald, after he goes down, you're like, I got him.
I got this guy.
I got this guy.
And Judy's out. Carla's a part of the plan. She's going to, once I make my elaborate hook shot, she's going to say that they need me.
And then it goes bad. And so that's one.
Wait, now, before you go on, why does an ambulance pull up? We're at the emergency entrance of a hospital.
Because we're in the parking lot of the hospital. We're playing basketball at the emergency entrance.
No, but the implication was that the ambulance pulled up for me.
No, I thought that for a second.
I think it was just to reinforce the point that, like, we're lying in a fucking parking lot right in front of the hospital.
Oh, I thought it was they called an ambulance for me, and I'm like, we're fucking at the fucking entrance.
No.
No, because you're just lying there chilling, because Donald's beside you.
Victor Nelly is a very good director, but he added some style to this that I didn't necessarily like. There was a lot of zooms all over the place. He clearly said to Bill, hey, what if I zoomed all over the place every fucking 2 seconds?
You're not a big fan of the zoom in, huh?
I don't mind a zoom if it's well timed or if it fits the piece. I thought that putting zooms all over a whole episode as though it's a part of our regular photographic lexicon felt odd to me. He also did that thing later in the episode where the tiles of the bathroom all come apart to, you know, it's just not part of like, I mean, it's fine to explore. It's season four. Let's try some new things. To me, they just stood out as not the way the show is told.
So two things we've learned.
Go ahead.
Zach is not a big fan of the zoom in.
I don't like random zooms for comedy. They don't usually make
What about for dramas? What about for sci-fi movies? There are a lot of people out there that love the zoom in.
Yeah, I think you can make a zoom work, of course. But I just think in this they felt they pulled me out a little bit because I'm like, that's not the way we shoot the show.
Doesn't feel like the show.
Yeah.
Zach only likes a zoom for the button, like a button to one of his comments as an alternate for a sip take.
Right, if it's like a bow.
Like a zoom, zoom, zoom.
Oh, bow. I like the zoom, zoom, zoom. I like the zoom, zoom, zoom.
You like
Everybody
the zoom,
likes
zoom,
the zoom, zoom.
There's zooms I like. I'll have to think of where I like zooms. All right.
Okay, so that's the first one. The second one. Okay.
I'm not a big zoomer.
Crazy,
I'm not
dude.
A big zoomer myself as a filmmaker. I don't know if there's any zooms in any of my movies, but go ahead.
The second one, Hooch is fucking crazy. Hooch is crazy at the end when we finally realize, no. This isn't a game anymore.
Yeah, it's
Hooch
not a game.
Hooch is fucking crazy,
Hooch is
dude.
Legit
I'm going to cut off your finger.
Right.
Like, and he beats the shit out of someone in the elevator with a sneaker. Yeah. Someone who had nothing to do with anything.
Rocco was watching the show. He was like, did he kill him? Hold on, time out. He goes, time out. did he just kill him? He literally killed that guy. And I'm like, nobody. No.
All right, well, let's shout it out to Phil Lewis because he's always so hilarious. And this is the episode. We get now, first of all, I never heard if this is a thing or who came up with this, but putting bouillon cubes in a shower head.
It's the best prank ever.
That would suck.
A diabolical genius that whoever came up with that is a diabolical genius.
We got up on
genius.
The counter with popcorn to watch him come out.
Yeah. And then he didn't know it was us.
He directed a bunch, right?
Phil? No, he never directed any of these. No,
he's become a big TV director since, but he had never directed Scrubs.
Maybe he directed some of the 13 in the 2.0.
No, he never directed any of. He never directed any Scrubs.
Okay. He directed a bunch of Undateable because he directs a lot of he directs a lot of multicam stuff. So I know that he directed Undateable a bunch. All right, well, let's move on. Kelso rips a fart. Now, we don't do too many fart jokes on Scrubs, but all of a sudden Kelso's ripping ass in the lobby.
It was
Speaking
funny.
Speaking of
I
my
laughed.
Professional peer.
Hi, Rocco.
Hi, Rocco.
I got you. Hold on. Tell them what happened yesterday when we left and what did you do in front of Uncle
Rocco,
Zach's
did you
house?
Pee on my house? I saw a picture of you peeing on my house.
I was joking.
You were joking when you peed on his house? You weren't joking? Did you really pee?
Great answer.
I peed in the bushes.
Oh, okay. I think some splattered on my wall, but it's okay. Your dad will clean it up. Okay.
What do you say to that?
Okay.
That's right.
Hey. What's up? You okay?
Yeah.
I love you.
Okay.
All right.
So watching Kelso fart reminded me. Did you guys ever fart on the show? Like by accident?
No, if I farted, it was on purpose. So
no, Sarah, but I'm very excited to hear your story.
Well, it just reminded me of the one time that I did, and Zach and I were kind of like we were doing like a kissing scene, and we're standing there like over in the corner, and they're about to say, and they say rolling, and I may or may not have farted, and I was just like, no, don't say anything, and of course. Zach was, just made the biggest deal anyone could possibly make over somebody farting. And I think made a song. There was some clapping you involved in it. And there was a lot of talk about farting. And then, of course, that went on the gag reel. And so we'd always have these long gag reels that would then play at the rap party. So then it came time for the rap party. And then we all had to relive me farting on set by accident right at the beginning, right after they said rolling.
Now, Sarah, do you recall if it was an audio fart or was an SBD?
Oh, no, it was audio.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
All I know is...
Probably so did everyone in the sound.
Do you have SBDs in Canada? Do you know what that is?
Silent but deadly?
Yes, but deadly. I didn't know if they have that in Canada because they're so polite up there.
I know. Well, they're very adorable. They're very polite farts. They're very polite.
It's silent but adorable up there.
Yeah, I mean, it was just really, it just for some reason when I heard Ken Jenkins fart, I just had this wave of like the rap party and the gag reel. And then I was just farting at the gag reel, which isn't just like the few people that were on set that may have heard it. Then it was like all of the network execs and people's spouses and friends and family that were also coming to celebrate the end of the season. So that was fun.
That's funny. Everyone loves an accidental fart. All right, listen, let's talk about how we flash back and the time Donald comes in to, Turk comes into our dorm room, and I go, I'm an 8th level ogre magi with invisibility, and this is Randall, the dragon.
I laughed out loud.
I call myself Chris One, dude. Do you know who Chris One is?
No.
KRS-1. Chris One. That was an inside thing that not a lot of people would, I thought a lot of people would pick up on it, but not a lot of people did. KRS-One is Chris One, one of the dopest MCs in the history of hip hop.
I didn't get that. Did he have
that's
a high
cool
top
that you
fade
put
like
that in there?
No, he didn't, but he wrote some of the dopest songs I've ever heard in my life.
Can I ask you, as a D&D guy, is 8th level ogre magi with invisibility a real thing?
No. Yes, it is. No, it is.
You can have Jarela invisibility
saying,
and be
yeah,
an ogre.
You can. An
How?
Ogre. Not
an ogre.
Ogre.
Is a tank.
He's not an ogre. He's not an ogre. He's an ogre magi. So that's two different classes put together. So
is
you totally
3E?
Can have.
Isn't ogre a race and magi as a class?
Yeah, it's but ogres come with different attributes than humans do. So if you're a magi, you're an ogre who is also a wizard. So you could totally have invisibility spells.
Okay, fine.
Okay, well, there you go.
That made me laugh very hard.
Did you win? Oh, you should have seen Donald with my nephew talking about they went like a Marvel wormhole, and they were like,
and Carrie Brothers, for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, they went into us. They went into like Joelle Ewan right there with them. It was like they were speaking Latin.
Because of everything that's happening in Loki. You know what I mean? Like,
we can't get on it now, Donald, but yes.
It's so easy to, like, now Marvel's becoming just a little bit predictable. Like, I know what's coming next because of what's happening, you know?
Only
because
you know the full lineup of films coming.
Well, no, but I know what the Thunderbolts is, you know what I mean? And I know what the freaking Secret Wars is. Mm-hmm. And when they started talking about these freaking timelines and all of that stuff and this war that happened to get the timelines back.
Sarah, do you
want to
go talk about musicals with me?
Immediately, all I could think of was, oh, shit, they're going to do the fucking Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. They're going to do Secret Wars.
All right. Well, now we're back. Sarah, what did you think of Jake? He seems like both the actor was really good, Josh Randall. But what did you think of him as your love interest?
Well, he was great. I was trying to. I had obviously because you guys are doing the rewatch one. I mean, it's like for me, I'm jumping out on these random episodes. And I haven't seen what happens before and what happens after, and I'm thinking like, I can't remember how long that storyline was, but I feel like it was a chunk.
Well, it was like I think he did like 3 episodes or something. You just recently decided to have sex with him. And you revealed that your favorite way is to be on top with the lights off, yelling, "Don't look at me."
I
think he's doing a good job. He's very likable, but we all of a sudden there's this new plot point that he's controlling you and you do whatever he says, and Carla is making her very pissed that you just do whatever he tells you to do.
Yes, one of my favorite lines of the entire episode is, "Jake, is it? I know your name. I'm being condescending. It's Jake, right?"
It's just shy of nobody cares,
Sean.
JD has a special place of hate for all of your lovers after him, totally. Understandably. He's jealous because we know that we're going to get back together and walk off into the sunset together and make babies.
Oh, my God. My niece was watching the finale and I watched a piece of it with her and it was so that whole like ending montage. And then they like of the two, like, you know, where you picture us together, whatever. And then they had all these clips of like just that last episode of just shooting it, like us all being wrapped out and being our last take. And I was a little verklempt.
Yeah. We're going to get
anyways, I know we're not doing the rewatch of that episode, but yes. We do end up together, and just seeing that was like, I just brought up all this, just that memories of that last day, and like, it was so wild.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to see if Sarah farted in any of the other scenes. We will be right back after these words. And we're back!
We are back! Hey, listen,
what you trying to get into one day soon? What you trying to do?
Listen, this is what I'm trying to get into.
What
we were talking
into,
about
day
we were talking about Bob Kelso farting. And that but we forgot to talk about what he says after he farts and that he likes Korean call girls.
Yes.
And he doesn't care who knows.
No, he said I thought he said something about he likes free donuts and Asian prostitutes.
No, he says Korean call girls. Those are the exact words he says. He doesn't say Asian prostitutes.
Okay, well, he has a specific type.
I think one was the feeding in and one was his response. Like maybe Neil said the first one. Kelso responded with the second.
But he doesn't care who knows. He's married to a woman named Enid.
Yeah, well, he's saying, I'm old, Cox. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I'll do whatever I want. I'm going to fart. I'm going to tell everyone I like Asian prostitutes.
I forgot one other thing that came in with this episode.
What?
A huge thing that we didn't talk about.
Go ahead.
SCB.
Yeah, Super Chocolate Bear. First time it's ever said.
Dude, this is like this is an iconic episode when you really think about all of the things that hit the freaking internet and stayed on the internet. SCB stuck. It stuck. That's something that stayed Like, people come up to me still and call me Super Chocolate Bear.
Yeah, you are.
And when JD says it to you and you're like, I love it. And he's like, I knew you would.
I had that locked and loaded.
So now the janitor is walking around trying to get JD to eat this pie.
Right. And it's got laxatives in it.
And JD's put two and two together. And also the Todd has eaten this pie.
And he says the funniest line of the whole episode.
Doozy of a toozy.
Make room out of my way. I got a doozy of a toozy.
make it stop, Five.
First of all, the janitor fucked him up so badly that he's in the ICU
on
fluids.
Yeah, on an IV.
And it's a joke.
Because you and the janitor only had one bite on the roof. And I love that the janitor would like, he's like, I'll take it just to get you down, JD. But then you guys are like on the toilet after a bite. And like the Todd, he probably had like a couple slices.
Well, he puts there's one slice.
Yeah, you see him eat the whole thing. Did you notice at the end, we're jumping ahead, but when I have explosive diarrhea next to the janitor, that you see my toes point?
I did not see that, but you did.
Oh, crack me up. Like, you just see me and the janitor's legs, and then all of a sudden something, you know, obviously you don't hear anything, but you see me, like, point my toes and lift them off the ground.
What's up with the boys trying to get Rowdy to choose between the two of them? And that's how they're going to get him to... Like,
first of
these
all,
guys
who's
are
this
going,
joke for?
Is I don't
for,
know, dude.
Is it for Carla? Because, like, who's laughing? Like, no one's... Like, we're doing it for us? What's wrong with us?
I don't know. I didn't get it. I was like...
I was Rowdy, too. If you come wondering... to me, I'll scratch your special region.
Like, I feel like it was, like, set up and you're waiting for Carla to come in? Or is she, like, a coincidence that she comes in?
It's got to be a coincidence that she comes in because we're doing the ourselves. Joke before she walks in.
Yeah.
And then she walks
Great,
in.
You're
and
not waiting for
it.
Yeah.
Elliot, you, Sarah, you explode a bloody nose onto your job interviewer. That was funny.
It's very, very on brand. So I used to obviously get very serious nosebleeds as a child to the point where they would last like 45 minutes. And I remember grade 7 graduation, true story. We all go to, you know, rehearse and then we're going to go get ready at Jen Murray's house and then come back and do our graduation. So that morning, I'm putting sunscreen on just very gently because I've been having these like, it's a 45-minute nosebleed. So I go to rehearsal. My mom picks me up. We go to the ER. They burn the outside of my nostrils as well as the inside. So that looks great in the pictures. And then my mom has brought me an outfit because I'm not going to have time to go get changed at my friend's house before grad. And it's this like crocheted sweater and this skirt. And this is not what I had intended on wearing to grad. So these nosebleeds were, quite a thing. They started, I think, when I was trying out for the basketball team, which I didn't make in grade 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. But the ball was coming towards me and it was tryouts and I was going to catch it. And I was like, this is it. It's my moment. It's all happening. It's coming together. Someone's passing me the ball. And it kind of went like right through my hands into my face and triggered this like, very long run of.
Do you think you might have a deviated septum because of this?
I do have a deviated septum, which I found out about later when I was working on a show and walked into a wall and they had to x-ray my nose. But that's another story for a different rewatch.
Sarah,
day.
Do you realize you're wearing a rhinestone shirt in this episode? And I it was sparkling. And I was like, that doesn't really feel like something Elliot would wear. But you're wearing like a Karen rhinestone shirt.
Yes. I noticed that as well.
It was just shy of saying live, love, whatever.
Live,
laugh,
love?
Yeah. Live, laugh, love.
And I had on my True Religion jeans.
Yeah, True Religion
true
jeans.
True Religion in the house.
Oh, they were such a... I love those jeans. Yeah. And like there was definitely a bedazzled belt.
But you approved that. You approved all your wardrobe. You went in there and were like, give me the rhinestones.
Do you have a problem with something that I was wearing?
I'm just saying. No, I know it was
You wouldn't have approved. You wouldn't have approved the... I know. This is a lot of, The old, like the short sleever with the long sleever underneath, which I loved and rocked in my everyday world.
There are another two things that I noticed about this episode that I thought were, you know, these were very on brand. John C. McGinley has a frickin' monologue the size of, that shit had to be like 3 pages, man.
Yeah.
Where he's talking about his wife and how she, you know what I mean? Like how... her happiness and everything like that. Dude, that monologue was forever.
Yeah.
And he rattles through it. And they cut away from it a couple of times, meaning, like, maybe he didn't get it all in one, but you know he strived to get it in one. But it was gigantic, and he freaking masterfully does it. That's one thing. Another thing that I was like, holy shit, about was Sam Loyd, dude.
Yeah, we don't talk about comedy,
him
right?
enough. We don't
physical
talk
comedy?
About him enough and how fucking amazing he is, at how amazing he was at physical comedy.
Yeah, all his beats in this are all physical comedy, and they're so funny.
Oh, my
God. The tie, the
gracious.
Typewriter.
Everything. Like
the
just
file cabinet. He hits that file cabinet twice in two different ways, and they're both the most solid hits. I mean, it's like WWE wrestling.
Masterful, man. We don't talk about that enough. Just like, you know, because he's in a lot of episodes, and I don't know, maybe it's because we miss him, or I don't know what it is, but I just want to say, man, we don't do him enough justice in saying how funny he is, because he was so, so, so funny, man.
The character is not really a sane person. He's trying to do calculations on a typewriter.
Yeah, he's not necessarily the smartest character.
And then Jordan takes his office, and did you notice that he set up, they kind of grazed by it, but he set up his office in the cafeteria. I wonder if that must have been a longer beat that they cut out or something, because he's got his whole desk set up at the cafeteria.
So funny.
Oh, he's
man.
Amazing and always flop sweating and so good.
Yeah.
So now I take on Hooch because I'm mad at Turk. So I try to take on Hooch as my new best friend.
Yeah. Chocolate bear number two, you call him.
Yes. And then you come over and I go, now, come on, don't be obvious. And I go, that seat's taken, ass face.
Yeah.
Hello, chocolate bear number two.
Number two.
And then he's riding on the back of the scooter with you and everything.
Yeah,
and, you guys
and he's got already has a personalized helmet that says
Hooch
on it.
He's got a helmet.
and I rat Jenkins. You out. I say that it's your fault of the billion cubes. And he goes, if it happens again, I'm going to take off one of your fingers. Right. That'll be my funny little prank.
Hooch is crazy.
Hooch is legit crazy. He almost killed someone with a sneaker.
Legit crazy. And then, so let's talk about Elliot and the new job.
Yeah.
I forgot that she leaves the hospital.
I forgot too.
Yeah, remember season five, she starts in a different hospital. I think, Sarah, you weren't even shooting with us for like the first couple episodes.
Yeah, it was like on a different campus. I feel like, I don't remember if that's when I start. There was one season where I stopped wearing scrubs and I was like, yeah, this sounds kind of fun. Let's wear some. It's been five seasons or whatever, how many seasons of scrubs? I'll just wear some fancy outfits. Was this it?
This is it.
Yeah. And I remember, it was like a wealthy hospital.
At the wardrobe fitting, and I was so pumped, and I was wearing all these cute dresses with this like little lab coat and these like crazy high heels. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then we were like 4 days in, and I was like, why did I do this? Why didn't I stay in scrubs? I could just like bring her in scrubs, jammies, and sneakers every day. And then I'm like in, you know.
Yeah.
High heels, marching down the hallway.
But it was good, though. I thought it's smart of them in season five to show the difference between a hospital that has more money and this hospital, which is supposed to be a city hospital without a lot of money. That's coming to you, season five.
Even with the nose, spitting the nosebleed blood
that
everywhere.
That shit was hilarious, though, man.
Still got it.
Because even after
you must have had a really good interview because you splattered blood all over his face.
And still got the job. Dude, the shit starts leaking, too. It's not like it just... Like, usually when you see nosebleeds in shows, it's like it stays there. But this thing starts dripping down your freaking...
They must have just done, like, an eyedropper of blood and then ran off camera because it was, like, slowly coming down.
Slowly going down. Oh, my God.
And then I'm alone. We reveal that it's not a tear. It's, in fact, my leaky ceiling. And big-ass stunt of the bathtub falling through into my apartment. And the
that shit was hilarious.
That was hysterical.
I think I'm going to have a new... beautiful neighbor to flirt with, and then her husband jumps down. So
her boyfriend or husband, but not only does he jump down, he superhero jumps down too.
Yeah.
Like he lands and it's real heroic, and he's like, yo, you're looking at my girl?
Yeah.
I would have been like, yeah, motherfucker, y'all just fell through the roof.
Yeah, you ruined my apartment.
I just got this place.
And she was kind of flirting for a second. She's like, sorry.
Right.
Like, come on, man, you just fell through the ceiling. Calm down.
Now, what were they doing that she's in the tub and he's not in the tub, but he still has on a freaking towel?
He just got out of the tub?
He got out of the tub or he was shaving?
I don't know. All I know is she's in the tub drops, filled with water, and then he comes, he jumps down. He doesn't fall through. He jumps down, and he's got on a towel.
Right.
To cock block.
We couldn't show his penis, Donald.
I understand that, Zach, but what the hell are they doing upstairs? It would have
been a much better finale if he jumped down with his dong flopping.
They would have let that.
They would have, yeah, that would have totally stayed in the show. Yeah.
That would stay in the show, but not marijuana.
No.
We're not allowed to talk about marijuana.
Dude, let me ask you a question. Do they show dong on Firefly Lane?
Yeah, Sarah's no. dong.
No dong.
Do they show booty crack?
A tiny bit.
Coin slot?
Not mine.
Not yours.
Nope. What do they show? I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, yeah, when we were doing scrubs, like, you're in bra and underwear a lot, but there's obviously, like, that kind of framework around network television where there's only a certain point you can go. And then, yeah, as soon as you go to cable, there's, like, you know, it's a conversation.
Did they come to you and say how naughty are you willing to be?
Wasn't so much like that. It was pretty collaborative. Like, as different scenes came up, it was kind of organic the way it would work. And I got a lot of say in terms of the, you know, if we're in underwear, what said underwear were, or could bring my own in.
And also, I noticed your character has jungle fever on that show. Also, like, big time. She is a interracial.
I don't know if we can use that term anymore, Joelle, can we?
Donald can.
I can.
Well, okay. Just checking.
Spike Lee made the movie.
He sure did.
Okay, I'm just double checking. I don't want to get Donald in trouble for saying.
Y'all can't even sing that song, huh? We're in love.
I can bop my head while you sing. So, Sarah, they come to you and they're like, hey, you have a sex scene coming up. Will you show areola
crack.
Or no areola? How does it work?
So, we have a scene coming up and yeah, when you read it, you can kind of usually get a fairly good idea, you know, of what it's going to be. But there was nothing that was, you know, that we did that was out of my comfort zone. Other than, of Wait, course, like, it's Canada on. And it's winter and it's freezing. And the one day that we have snow on the ground is the day that I'm answering the door naked. So it was like, you know, there's snow everywhere. And I'm in, like, obviously they didn't show everything, but I was in very, you know, I was in undies and, like, stickers and answering the door where it's less than 0 degrees and multiple takes of that. And then the other one was the pool, where there was a lot of discussion over that scene, you know, like, how is that going to work, where you kind of drop off your clothes and then you dive into the pool. So how are we going to get that shot where we get and make the story make sense to get you into the water? And then I was in
Maybe
the water.
You should up the sex a bit, because Donald's wife and our soon-to-be guest are big fans of Bridgerton.
As am I.
I burned for you.
I haven't seen it, but I'm told it's very steamy. So maybe Firefly
He's not coming
Lane.
Back for season two, though.
I know, but there'll be somebody else with abs.
I'm sure there will be. You're absolutely right.
I'm just saying, Sarah,
so
you might want to tell the showrunner
to
take it
two.
Up to Bridgerton-level sex on Firefly Lane. We can ask one of your favorite viewers, Amanda, who's going to join us in a second. She really, really, really loves Firefly Lane. Don't you, Clutes? Yeah, she says she does. I'm going to tell you.
Hi, Klutz.
All right, she's going to join us in a second. We will be right back to have Amanda Klutz. She's going to talk about how much she loves Sarah's show, Snore. And then we're going to talk about her new book, Live Your Life. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. I don't have a splitter, so...
That's fine. I can hear. Can.
Oh, he doesn't have a splitter. I have a splitter.
Sarah, you're trying to act like you have technology. The joke is that Sarah can barely ever manage to even get on the Zoom call.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
I'm right
Thank
there.
You, Amanda.
I don't
it's
believe,
okay,
it.
It's all
I don't
it's
believe
all
it, Amanda.
Guys, I can't even
you
sign
host
an email
a very,
that people
very...
ask me to sign over email. I have to
Bull
send
crap.
It to my assistant to sign for
Look
me.
At that.
That's how bad
you
I am.
You got an assistant now and everything.
Oh, she's fancy.
She is so fancy. For those of you who don't know who our guest is, she hosts a very, very popular talk show called The Talk.
Yes.
And not only does she do that, she also has a wonderful book that she just put out herself.
I'm going to hold it up like a real talk show host does. You know, like on the talk shows when they hold up the book?
The name of the book is... go ahead.
If you're listening, you can't see what a good job I am of being a talk show host. This is what would happen on the talk, right, Amanda? Mm-hmm. We would hold up the book and go, we're so happy to have Amanda Klutz here. Her new book is Live Your Life. She wrote it with her sister, Anna Klutz, and it's flying off the shelves. Right? Does that sound like I could be on the talk?
It was, yes, that was very
I'm auditioning to do a guest spot on the talk.
I have told them to get you in to be a guest.
I know Jerry O'Connell is doing guest spots on the talk. I feel like Donald and I should steal that position from Jerry O'Connell.
From Jerry O'Connell? Jerry is a king of guest hosting, man.
Yes, he's very funny, but I feel like you and I could come on the talk and really crush it.
You would.
Jerry also has a splitter on hand always. Like, you need a splitter. He's got it.
That's called a callback joke, Amanda, for those of you keeping track. Wait, let's talk about Fire Flame. One more thing on Fire Flame. Amanda is your biggest fan. She would text me like, are you watching Sarah's show? It is amazing. She loves it.
Yes. Sarah,
the answer was no. The answer was no.
Well, I watched a couple episodes, and when there was no coin slot, I ducked out.
Just so you know, Sarah, I was like, you need to watch it. You have to support your friend. She's amazing. And he was like, I know.
Amanda.
And I'm like, no, you don't understand. She's incredible in this show. I am a huge fan. And then I would DM her, and I'd be like, you're amazing.
Yeah. Amanda's the reason you got season two, because she's broadcasting it out all over the place.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amanda.
My wife loves Firefly Lane, and the one thing she says after watching every episode is, Sarah is so fucking good on this show.
Sarah snaps.
She's so good.
Donald, after I was DMing Sarah, I would DM Casey, and I'd be like, Casey, are you watching Sarah on Firefly? I'm not kidding you.
And she would be like, girl, you know I'm watching Firefly Lane.
I know, and I'm like, I know. And then I was like, has she always been this amazing? This is amazing.
Yeah, she has. She has.
That's what you did say. Zach did say no. She's always been amazing.
Well, but the world is finally seeing all her different levels. She was known on our show for being hilarious, but now on Firefly, she's playing a lot of dramatic stuff too.
Plus, she got jungle fever
on the show. Can't say only Donald.
I can.
And Joel. All right, now listen. Bridgerton is another thing that both Amanda and your wife love. They DM about that and talk about what's his name's abs.
No, they don't talk about his abs.
No, we don't talk about
his abs.
What
do they talk about? Does he show peen?
He shows coin slot at the last episode.
Oh, he shows coin slot.
No, full bum.
Amanda,
he shows full bum.
Amanda was like, it's so steamy, you should watch it. And I go, I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to wait for the steamy scene. She's like, okay, episode 6, 30 minutes in. Is that right, episode 6?
Episode 6.
Yeah, episode 6.
It all goes down.
So I told her once, I was like, I'm just going to fast forward episode 6 and see what everybody's talking about. I never did.
Well, this maybe Zach and Donald, Bridgerton could be your next, like when you want to slide in some other rewatch for your podcast to stretch out.
I am not going to watch
Bridgerton. I think you should do a Bridgerton.
No, I love you, Shonda Rhimes, but I ain't watching that.
By the way, I think Casey and Amanda should do a Bridgerton rewatch podcast.
That would be hilarious. You know what, Zach? We should go on vacation and Casey and Amanda should do a Bridgerton rewatch.
Take over the podcast.
Joelle, do you watch that?
Bridgerton? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Daniel, do you watch Bridgerton?
No, I don't watch Bridgerton.
Come on,
sorry.
Exactly.
Did you watch episode 6? I hear that's where it goes down.
All of the episodes, it was like Game of Thrones level of like, oh my, we're just really going for it.
Word.
There's no fighting. It's all sex.
Yeah.
See, that's where you lose me. You lose me there. I got to see some like skulls bashed in and then sex, and then it works for me.
Get that bloodlust going.
I haven't watched Outlander, but I hear that's very steamy too.
Oh, yes. Which one? It is. I haven't either.
Uncomfortably from my mom, she was like, this Outlander is really hot and heavy.
Outlander is wild.
All right, listen, let's segue into something on the total opposite side of the spectrum. We all know from listening to the show what happened to Amanda and our friend Nick. And I have to say something. I honestly thought, Amanda, and I've told you this, I'm going to say it very tactfully because I'm a talk show host on this show today. I did not think this was going to be as good as it is.
That was very tactful.
Yes.
Jerry O'Connell did, though. He knew.
No, listen, when your friend writes a book, and of course it's about something so personal, I knew I was going to read it and love it because I love Amanda and I love Nick more than anything. I'm not just saying this, listeners, because this affected our lives so much and affected the person next to me more than anything, but I could not put this book down. Amanda, you did such an incredible job telling this story, and it isn't just the sad parts of what happened. It jumps back and forth between the love story of you and Nick. And I guess my first question is, like, how the hell did you do this? I know you had some help from your sister, Anna, who's a professional writer, but tell us the story of how this came about and how it's so darn good.
Well, it is a true 50-50 collab, guys. Like, Anna is an incredible writer, but she also lived with us during this whole entire time. And she was kind of like Nick and I's third wheel, even like in our throughout our relationship in New York. She was on part of our honeymoon with us. Like, Anna and Nick loved Anna. He always was like, is Annie coming? Annie's coming. Oh, good. Annie's coming. So she just knew a lot about our life, and she's an incredible writer. And she literally, we communicate telepathically. So she was the only person that I wanted to do this with. And HarperCollins suggested a ghostwriter, and Anna has nothing, you know, published of this nature. So they were a little hesitant, to say the least. But then she sent a sample of their writing. They emailed right back and they were like, oh, no. Yes, please do this with
Amanda. You're so lucky, because a ghostwriter who's, you know, for those of you who don't know, is someone who sort of hides in the background and helps someone write a book who's never written a book. That would have been so impersonal. Whereas Anna, as you'll see when you read the book, was by Amanda's side. I mean, it's also just... There's so many beautiful things in this book, but one of the other themes that is so incredibly moving is the bond between you and your sister and how she was by your side every single step of the way.
Yeah, no, she was. I couldn't have gotten through this without her. I mean, you know, you saw it firsthand, but Anna and my brother Todd, Anna was like Elvis's second mom when I was at the hospital every day, and I never knew how long I was able to stay at the hospital. So she was always just kind of like literally second mom and took over and never asked for anything in return. She just like did it with, you know, a smile on her face. It was amazing. And we wrote it together. We really did. I mean, she was in Paris. I was here in LA. I would put Elvis to bed and I would start writing around 8 p.m. trying to keep my eyes open. But I, you know, we had this, such a deadline. You usually get like at least a year to write a book. They gave us 5 months. And so I was like at, you know, my computer every night at 8 p.m. And then I would go to sleep and send her whatever I wrote. And then she would be waking up in Paris and she would say, sister, I'm on it. Let's all look through everything you just sent me. So it was kind of like everyone, you know, we were working on it 24/7, which is, I think, how we got it done in 5 months.
Yeah. That's how they do visual effects sometimes on giant movies. Like when LA stops, some foreign nation begins, and so it's being worked on 24/7. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you original questions and have these guys ask you original questions, but I'm going to ask you a question. I know you get asked a lot, but it's hard not to read this book and not want to ask you. And I want to ask you, as someone who's your best friend, how the hell have you stayed so strong? This was the hardest thing that anyone could ever go through. And it happened pretty fast. And yet you never, of course you had your horrible moments, I'm sure, but how the hell did you manage to stay so strong and also simultaneously raise a little baby during all of this?
I think, you know, in writing everything down, it helps you kind of like look retrospectively and kind of figure out how you did it. But I think a couple of things. The first is the help of my family. I could not have done this. You know, my brother and sister came in, and then my mom and dad came in, and then Leslie came in. And so I literally had like a huge support system that allowed me to go be with Nick every day and fight for him and research and do everything that I did with Nick. The second is, you know, my faith in God and what I believe. And I just feel like, you know, when you're going through something this hard, when you have this trauma faced, you know, every day and this horrible news every single day, just to be able to give that burden to something else that is higher and bigger than you. Of course, you're going to always carry it on your shoulders and it'll always be in your heart. But like just to be able to pray and ask for prayer and ask for that support, just like it gave the burden to something else bigger than me. So that was huge. And then, you know, I think I'm innately a fighter. I'm innately somebody that I realized in writing this book, I actually got nervous about it. I was like, do I thrive under pressure? Like, am I somebody – it's something I asked my therapist. Like, do I – am I the best version of myself under, like, extreme amounts of pressure, which is something that I've tried to figure out and deal with. Because it's, like, worrisome, obviously, right? Like, you, what do you do when everything's fine? Are you okay? Or are you, like, your best version when you have to, like, throw down and, like, live life on a moment?
Well, I think you've always had a pretty extraordinary life. But I feel like you know, Donald gets a mosquito bite and he goes to see, like, a surgeon. And I have a bit of bad news and I get in the fetal position and get under the covers. And I'm reading this book and it's just incredible how you are able to persevere and fight every single day.
Well, thanks. But I mean, you know, you would do the same thing if it was your person lying in the ICU and they couldn't speak for themselves and they couldn't do anything. I mean, you would do anything and everything you can. I mean, you would. And, you know, I mean, you knew Nick as you know, he would want me to, you know what I mean? He would want me to fight. He would want me to research. He would want me to be the best mom I could be for Elvis. Like, he would want me to move forward with my life. A lot of people, you know, ask me that about, you know, just living now. And I'm like, yes, I could live in grief every single – I cry every day still. Of course I do. And it's like I cried myself to sleep last night. That's never going to change. But I know Nick would want me to move forward. You know what I mean? Yeah. If he could have said anything on his deathbed, he would have said, don't you dare stop living your life. I want you to find love again. I want you to raise our son with joy and happiness. I want you to work. I want you to thrive. I want you to succeed. I mean, I would have said the same thing to him. So I know it's what he would have said to me.
Yeah. You guys can feel free to chime in if you want to say anything. I didn't want to monopolize the interview of our fancy guest.
Well, I just want to say that I'm completely in awe of your strength. I followed you kind of just from the beginning of when it all started to happen. And we were, you know, jumping rope every day at 3 o'clock and singing Live Your Life. And my nieces would jump with me. And it was truly an incredible thing to watch, your strength. There's nothing quite like it. And I don't know how you did it. And it was just incredible to see this rallying cry and how you brought together your family, your friends, your community, and then the world, and all of these strangers. And, you know, this year was complicated and hard for people all in different ways. To see you right at the beginning of it take such a powerful, optimistic, hopeful, strong stance was just so inspiring. And I think you know, have changed a lot of and affected just a lot of people because of it. And I just think you're incredible.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah,
thanks for jumping.
I want to say, like, look, when one of my greatest fears in life is that when I pass away, I will not be remembered for the things that I've done, whether it be raising my children, whether it be, you know, my work, whatever it is. And what was so awesome when Nick was in the hospital and everything like that. The way dude was a rock star. You made him a rock star. He had a hit record. Like all of his, it's crazy. Like all of his dreams before he passed came true because of you and your being able to represent him. I pray that when, you know, that these are things that we have no control over anything, but everybody wants to be remembered for something. And you made it happen. You know what I mean? Everybody knew who he was before he left. And that's something that, you know, as a performer, and maybe it's me maybe it's my vanity, whatever it is, you always want to leave a mark. And he was able to leave a mark thanks to you. And I just wanted you to know that I think that's such an amazing quality to have as a partner. You know what I mean? Like to we always say we're in it together and everything like that, but when the chips are down and everything and it and the going gets rough, you know, they write songs about it. Will you can you stand the rain? And I know that my wife would do the same for me, but you know, it was just so amazing to see the love that you had for him and what you were willing to do to make sure he was represented. And that's so dope.
Well, thanks, Donald. I mean, you know, I think honestly that, you know, that was obviously never not the intention in the beginning of sharing the story. But when, as like so many people started following the story and praying for Nick and supporting us and Nick and his family, it kind of just unfolded that way because I wanted people to know who they were supporting. You know what right. I mean? And Nick couldn't talk, right? So I was like, okay, you guys are like, I have all these people all over the world singing this man's song. They should know who he is. You know? Yeah. Like, they got to know some stories about him and us. And like, if you're praying for us every single day, like, I want you to know who you're praying for. I want you to understand who we are and who he is and why I love him and why I think he's special. But, you know, I will have to say, like, I mean, Zach knows, you know, Nick was 41 and he wanted to, you know, have this music career. And we just had a new baby and we moved to LA and we had no money. And it was a bit of a struggle. And I wasn't necessarily the most supportive wife and his, you know, I want to go on tour in a truck and play cities across America with our baby and two dogs. And I was like, how does that work? And he's like, you can teach fitness in all the cities and we can live out of a van. And I was like, you know, and so I wasn't necessarily the most supportive, but I will say, you know, in this journey and playing his song every day and, you know, just making everybody else sing his song, you know, I turned into his biggest fan, which I, you know, like I know he knows. Now, but you know, I just, I'm glad I turned into his biggest fan because, he was so talented and he did know everything about music. That guy was like, he knew everything.
When I was reading the book, there's so many amazing stories about your romance and falling in love. And I just love the way you structured it because this story, what happened is quite tragic. But there's so much love and hope in it. There's the love of you two falling in love with each other. There's the familial love of you and your siblings rallying around you. There's the community of love, our friends that did our best to rally around you. And then because you were so diligent about sharing this story on Instagram and the web, people all around the world. I mean, when you see the Amanda talks about the letters she gets from so many countries around the world, and she would read them to Nick, and so many people who just would pray and sing with her and share their love. It was just really heartwarming in a way that at such a horrible time, so many thousands and thousands of people rallied together for you.
Yeah. It's crazy. I still honestly can't believe it. You know, Instagram archives all of your stories and things, which is how I got a lot of information back to write down in this book because this book is so detailed, heavily detailed. And a lot of it was right in my brain just because, you know, when you're that into something like this, you just remember the medicines, the doctors, it's right there. But I would go back into Instagram archives and watch like all the 3 p.m. singings and all of the people that would send their messages from like literally all over the world. And there'd be nights I would cry myself to sleep just being like, how did this happen? How? You know, it doesn't even like the story with everything that happened with Nick seems still surreal to me. But even just like that, everything that the rally of the people that supported us just doesn't even still seem real. It's crazy.
I like it when the world shows that people are good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Yeah. No, I think, you know what, though? Like, that's what I think, though, was one of the most beautiful takeaways from this pandemic is that for the first time in our lives, the world, we were all on the same note. Everybody was doing the exact same thing. Everybody. And so it forced us all to just like go back to our roots. And I think innately the roots of humans is just kindness. We want to be kind people. And we could be for the first time because all distractions of life were gone. Mm. And we had nothing else to do. I don't know if I could rally this army now, with everybody back in their lives and work and busyness. But at the moment, it's like it was this perfect weird moment of everybody needing a community, needing something to do. And so I think when I was like 3 p.m., everybody's singing, everybody was like, it is on the schedule. I have nothing else on the schedule, but I have that. 3 p.m., we're singing.
Yeah, you know? I can't lie on the couch at 3. I have to sing at 3.
Yes, it was like a something to do, and it gave people something to do.
And I think also it goes without saying that we had just been told this was only putting old people in the ICU. And so Nick became the face of the fact that this could happen to a 41-year-old. Was he 41? Mm-hmm. 41-year-old. And that was really terrifying, but also important for people to know, to land that. Another thing you might not know, and I'm going to tell our listeners this for the very first time, I have a little cabin behind my house that I named probably 15 years ago when I got it, Brown Bear Cabin, after Donald. And no one knows that unless you come here. And we just jokingly all call it Brown Bear Cabin because, as you all know, I love Donald and I'm obsessed with all things Donald Faison. I'm naming structures after him. Well, this is where Amanda and Nick and Elvis were living when Nick got sick. So one of the most said three words in the whole book is Brown Bear Cabin. So, Donald, I want you to know that you're a big part of this book.
Represent, represent.
Yeah, it's where we lived. We weren't going anywhere else. You didn't, I mean, you know, at this time, we forget, you know, how different the world was a year ago. You know, like, we're already back into this new world. We forget a year ago we were afraid to leave our house. We thought groceries had COVID on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I remember wiping down my groceries with, you know, antibacterial wipes and, you know, like, food, actual food, like, literally wiping down. Mm-hmm. Tomatoes and apples and stuff like that. Scared that I would. I remember going outside and literally treating people like they had the plague. Literally. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Don't come near my family. Don't mm-hmm. come.
The hardest thing for me and Amanda was that I had to. And I said, as I finished the book, and I said to her, one of the things I said was, we were just so scared. We didn't know what to do. Amanda was with Nick. We didn't know if Amanda had it or not, obviously. And Amanda is kind of living proof that someone can not get it, because the fact that you never got it is pretty miraculous. I mean, I don't know. I know the science is still rolling out, but the fact that Amanda never got it is pretty amazing. And so there were times, some of the hardest times I can remember, watching you cry, and I didn't know what to do because I had to stay 6 feet from her. So I would stand there watching her cry.
Do you remember the day that Nick, so it was Good Friday, Nick died on the table for 2 minutes. It was the first time that he died, and they resuscitated him and got him back and were putting him on ECMO. But there was a moment in time where I did not know if he was going to survive and be put on this machine. So I, of course, desperately called Zach and our friend Trevor, and they came running down. But they both, like, and I'm in the cabin. Obviously, I just got told my husband died for 2 minutes. So I'm disastrous on the floor of the cabin. I don't even remember where Elvis was. I was, like, just – I couldn't even focus. And I remember, like, both you and Trevor, like, you didn't – like, you could – you. Oof. It was the early days of COVID, like, super early. This was, like, March – you know, end of March, like, we were all terrified. And I just remember, like, you didn't even want to walk in the cabin.
We didn't know what to do. We put masks on, yeah. And we sat, like, on the ground because Amanda was sobbing on the ground. And Trevor and I sat 6 feet from her, like, on the ground with her. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever experienced in my life, to not be able to go and hug someone in so much pain.
Yeah.
I was so crazy.
No, I mean, I could have had it. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we both assumed you did, you know?
Yeah. I mean, luckily. I mean, that was the weirdest thing, though. I mean, Nick's doctor said, you know, there's people in the ICU where their whole families have got it. And then there's people like your family where one person gets it and everyone else is completely fine, which was what made it so hard. He said it all the time. It's like the wild, wild west. We do not know how to operate around this virus because it is always different.
Crazy thing about Nick that a lot of people don't know, and you'll learn in the book, is that COVID came and did what it did to Nick's body and then left. Mm-hmm. So all of so much of what happened to Nick, COVID was long gone out of his body. He wasn't even on a COVID floor. But it came in, destroyed his lungs, destroyed his body and his organs, and then was gone. And that's something a lot of people are surprised by, that Nick wasn't COVID positive for that long. Right?
I remember you know what I also remember? I remember Amanda telling us what was happening to Nick, and then that becoming news 2 weeks later or a week later, where it was like, you know, it does this to your lungs. And then 2 weeks later, the whole thing about how it affects people's respiratory system, how blood clotting could happen. And then 2 weeks later, the blood clot story came. I remember being like, holy cow, this dude's going through, it seemed like he went through all of it, like every effect that COVID could have on someone, he went through it. And I remember being like, this is how is this happening to this one person? How is this one person experiencing all of these symptoms? You know, and you just said, you know, he only had it for a couple of weeks and then that was it. Like, it really took, it really did. I mean,
there's a nuclear bomb on his body. Yeah. I mean, it just nuclear bombed his lungs.
No, you're right.
They said, what did they say? It looks like he was a smoker for 50 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys. The first time they showed me his lung scans, I mean, it's the stories in the book, but I came home to I couldn't even talk, and Todd and Anna knew something was wrong. And then I broke down and told them what I saw. And I thought for sure Nick would go that day. I was like, you don't recover. I mean, the huge holes in his lungs, huge, like, you know. And then, but then this is what's crazy. And you'll read about it in the book, the ups and downs of the ICU. That's one doctor's opinion. And then literally the next morning, after a Xanax and no sleep that night, because I thought, no way is my husband even making another day, I get another phone call from my doctor, who I love, the positive doctor. And he was like, Amanda, God gave us so much more lung than we need. He's fine. And I was like, what? Like, but like, this was literally the daily battle of my life during these times, where it was like one doctor says something where you are like preparing for the worst. And then 2 seconds later, they call and go, oh, no, 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 his numbers are fine. Everything looks good. He's doing great today.
Yeah. One of the frustrating things you'll read about in the book is that Amanda had to deal with, you know, doctors don't, as we know from the television show Scrubs, doctors don't always agree how to treat someone or what the prognosis is. And there was a roller coaster ride for her. But on the flip side of things, man, is this a testament to a lot of amazing healthcare heroes in this book. The nurses that were angels to Amanda, and the orderlies and the doctors. There's one in particular. Amanda changed most of the names of people, not to disturb their privacy, but one doctor is such a hero to Amanda that she asked his permission and kept his name, because he's the kind of doctor we honor on this show and celebrate, because he was by your side all the time.
Yeah, he's the best. He's now my doctor. When I reached out to him after Nick passed, because I still hadn't found a doctor in LA, I was like, hey, Dr. Ng, I really need a doctor. Probably good for me to just, you know, have somebody that I can go to, you know, at any time. And he was like, if you feel okay, he was like, you know, I would happily take you on as a patient. And he was like, I understand if that's weird, though. And I was like, actually, no, I have your cell phone, which is amazing. And I can get a hold of you at any moment. And like, we went to war together. Like, we really did. I mean, he says in this book, after Nick passes, there's a beautiful moment where we get to kind of chat after a couple of days. And he said to me, he goes, I've talked to you more than my wife in the last 3 months. Mm. So not talking to you for 3 days felt very weird. How are you?
That's the kind of man he is. Yeah. And he would just text her all the time. And he's such a hero. And by the way, this is happening to remind us all at the most insane time that's ever happened to this country, all while a pandemic's going on at Cedars-Sinai, one of the biggest hospitals in L.A. So anyway, I love you. We love you.
Love you.
This is incredible. Listeners, I'm not just saying—
I love you, Amanda.
I love you too.
I'm not just saying this because I love her. I genuinely, if you want to know more about the story, and also if you're someone who's gone through grief and found a way to stand back up again, and it's an incredible piece of work. I think this is going to be a bestseller, if I could predict. It's called Live Your Life. So it's out. You can get it at your local bookshop. You can get it on Amazon, wherever you buy books. Live Your Life by Amanda Klutz. Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amanda, I can't wait to read it. I pre-ordered the second I could, and it's on its way.
You're so sweet.
Well, are you going to do an audiobook? Are you going to do an audiobook?
So I did do the audiobook. It was an incredibly hard experience, but the audiobook is available, and as soon as you order, it's in your inbox.
Donald, I know you like audiobooks, so you should get it.
I'm definitely.
I cry a lot while speaking, but they assured me that that's okay to do.
You should have quite on, right. on the handful of sentences I have in the book. Not to make this about me, but I should have been called in to read my sentences for the audiobook.
Oh, should you? No. I did your voice. I even added.
Did
that.
You really? Did you add? What a horrible laugh. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We love you. Donald, do you want it? Sarah Chalk, you're the greatest. We're happy about Firefly Lane. Maybe consider Coin Slot. I don't know. Donald, what else?
You know how it goes, man, with me. I love everybody, even my haters. So
you don't have any haters. Everybody loves the Donald.
Oh, trust me, I have some haters, but I love you too.
Okay. Joelle and Daniel, should we tell everyone what we're doing tomorrow?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to tell them. If they're not going to tell them, we're going to Disneyland, dude. We are going to Disneyland, and we're going to get on Small World.
We're going to do Star Wars.
We know we're going to get on Nemo. We're going to ride the ride with Nemo. Oh, what else are we going to do? We're going to get on Star Wars.
I'm not doing the ones that make me woozy.
We're going to do Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's
going
to make me woozy.
We're going to the Marvel campus.
Yes, we're doing that for sure.
That's what you think.
We're building a lightsaber. Will not get me on. I have a bad back. It's never
going to happen. Joelle, you're going to build a lightsaber.
But you're going to enjoy these rides. I'm telling you that right now. Don't think y'all are going to Disneyland to just build a lightsaber. You're going to Disneyland to get on some rides, too, whether it be Small World.
Okay.
All right. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time. Sarah, you have the honor of counting us out. But do it in German.
Fünf, sechs, sieben, acht.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's our stories. Now we all should.